All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseballs, the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseballs, the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseballs, the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Yeah, man, it's the Grateful Dead.
We covered Woodstock the DVD last week.
Yeah, man,
the Grateful Dead at Woodstock.
I don't know, just going for hippies.
Probably,
probably.
I don't know. Maybe,
but that's not the reason we're playing the Grateful Dead, because apparently more dead have reason to be grateful.
Apparently,
Steve Rogers is a dead guy.
He is a dead guy.
And he has reason to be grateful, because apparently he's not dead.
Correct.
But we'll get more into that later. This is Big Kev Geek Stuff.
Episode 152.
Yes. Nobody ever dies.
At least not in Marvel. Well, I guess not really anywhere anymore.
Yeah, no, nobody. Nobody dies.
Not in comics.
Nobody dies in comics. I'd love to see a comic company kill off a mainstream character and not have him come back.
Colossus.
No. He came back.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Huh.
In that awful Joss Whedon book. X-Men.
Oh, whatever it was. Yeah,
Legacy.
I know what
the hell it was. Who can tell?
I don't know.
They all come back. Nobody ever dies. Captain Marvel died. He came back. Captain America died. He's coming back. Batman died. He'll probably be coming back.
Nah, he'll be back.
And nobody
Superman
dies.
Superman died. He came
Superman
back.
Superman died. He came back. Why don't these people have the balls? And you
Even
know
all
what?
The flashes that died, they're all back.
Yes, that's true. I know the Impulse, I think, is not back. But they're waiting.
It's eventually.
Oh, what, Robin? The second Robin, Jason Todd?
Oh, he's not back.
He's back.
Oh, he's back?
Yeah. I can't tell you who he is.
Why not? Just
because it'll ruin it.
Yeah, you could tell
I'm not going to tell you.
I know he was like faux back in Hush, but he was.
Yeah, but that.
But it wasn't really him.
Oh, but was it?
I thought it wasn't really him.
Ooh.
Oh, well.
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 Well. So, yeah, nobody ever dies in comic books. It's stupid.
Not at
and
all.
You know what? There are two prime examples going on right now in the comic book world of characters that have died, and they have a legit follow-up story
right.
where they've moved on. All the characters have moved on. There are replacement characters, and Captain America is one, and Batman is the other.
And both of them will be back sooner than later.
Yeah. Of course, in Captain America, it took another character that died in the 40s
to come back
to be Captain America, Bucky. Bucky is never, ever dead. But that said, when he was dead and the Winter Soldier, and while there was a tad hokiness to it,
right,
in the end, it worked. You know, you give him the shield, and you give him a gun, and he's the new Captain America, and there's the new design.
Yeah.
You know what? And I accept it. I'm like, okay, let's see what we can do with this.
Let's go with it.
And now that's going to end.
Of course.
And the Batman, it was maybe the lamest death ever in DC, which is saying a lot. But the fact that it was done, and we went through all of that, battle for the cowl and all that crapola.
Right.
Now there's new books and everything else. You know, inevitably he's gonna come back. So it kind of sucks. I think really they should pick somebody, kill him, and leave him dead.
Please.
How many? Hal Jordan die also in DC?
Yeah, but he came back as
he was the Spectre. Wasn't
the Spectre.
He the Spectre for a little while? But now he's back.
As Hal Jordan. Yeah, as a Green Lantern.
I think
right?
so. Yeah.
Not as the Green, as a Green, I don't know.
I think he's, well, there's no A anymore.
Oh, it's like.
There's a league.
There's a league of lanterns.
Green Lantern.
The core.
Core, yes, that's it. I don't think it's one per planet anymore. So right. I don't. Again, as we
apparently
said last week.
Green Lantern fans that listen to the show, so I don't want to upset them too much by saying something wrong. So,
oh, really?
We'll just assume that it's some sort of
who's
core.
Who's a Green Lantern fan?
I've just heard people say they're Green Lantern fans.
Oh, okay.
I follow what people say. I listen.
That's nice.
Well, you know. We have a show, I think.
I guess. I mean, if
we're not just going to talk about Cap for 20 minutes.
I was just ready to go. Okay, well, thanks for tuning in.
That's fine. I'm hungry.
Hey, guess what? Before we get to the show.
Okay.
I tuned into Hippo Juice.
It's a lovely show, isn't it?
After we cut that promo.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what the heck it was.
Right.
I tuned it in yesterday.
That's good.
It's a collection of dudes and a hot girl.
Maria's lovely.
And they just kind of sit around and bullshit on each other.
Yeah, but they talk about some good stuff, though. I enjoy their show.
They were talking about Marvel pets a little bit. I caught a little bit of that. It's funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just want to let you know.
They're friends, you know. I went out to dinner with some of them.
I know. They said you brought them to some horrendous Japanese place.
Oh, yeah? They said horrendous?
Yeah, they did. And then I think...
I don't think they said horrendous.
Okay. And then the joke extended to... Then he took us to Sbarro or something. I don't know. There's some sort of...
They went
of...
to a bad Italian place while they were in New York, but I wasn't responsible for that. But I did take... I took them to Haru in Times Square. It's a good sushi place. It's a very good sushi place.
I regretted that I wasn't around to take them somewhere decent, like 69 Bayard Street. That's right. If you're looking for Chinese food in the New York City area, you're not going to get better Chinese food than 69 Bayard Street in the heart of Chinatown.
You say so.
It's true.
I like 69 Bayard, but I wanted sushi, not Chinese.
Anyway,
they're lovely, and you should check them out.
Hippo Jews aside.
Hippojuicefilm.com.
Yes. Them aside, we obviously have some things to talk about. What's in the news there, OG?
Remember we were talking about that whole Buffy's coming back, but Joss Whedon's not doing it?
Oh, that's so funny. I was having a conversation with Best Buy. Oh.
He's not here.
Look who's not here again. Apparently, Best Buy Billy, made of salt, cannot go out in the rain.
No, actually, I think that in the tradition of Big Kev's Geek Stuff producers, we've placed the hat on his head, and it's an invisibility hat.
I'm sure wherever Best Buy Billy is, he's thinking about the show right now.
I'm sure.
So what were you saying? Something?
So there was that whole, they're going to do a Buffy movie, but Joss isn't going to be involved. And then the fans outcried.
Yeah.
Well, naturally, after the fans outcried.
They shit the bed.
And they approached Joss a little bit. They were like, oh, well, we're going to talk to him. And Joss, in a quote, said, I think that's something better left untouched by me. So I wish them luck. Which really, I kind of interpret that as, go fuck yourself.
Well, kind of. I interpret that as... smart.
Of course it was smart. At this point, now he wants to distance himself. He knows it'll probably be a colossal failure, and good for him. That means that his project or his input behind that show will always remain positive and good. And
right.
The new thing will be...
If there's a new thing. I still don't buy it.
If there's a new thing.
Hey, you know what I watched?
Something good.
True Blood.
Season two, you've started watching
the first season. I watched the first season before season two started. It's a good show.
I'm still behind on season one. I'm catching up.
You know why I brought this up?
It's on demand.
You know why? Because
what's her name's boobs were in the first episode.
No, they were in several episodes. Oh. Anna Paquin, but that's not why.
Oh, why?
There's a lot of sex in that show.
It is. It's kind of really like softcore. That show.
It's not really that bad. It's
kind of that bad.
It's no
like
it,
borders on that bad.
But you know what?
It's not like Skinamax bad, but it's like a step below.
But you know what though? And this is the reason I brought it up because I know you and I are going to fight about this. It's no worse than Buffy the Vampire Slayer. If Buffy had been on cable, there would have been more sex, and there would have been more stuff like.
Well, the sex isn't what bothers me about that show. That's just a part of the show.
What bothers you about the show?
I think that it's not trying to be I haven't read the book, so I know that someone's going to tell me that this is off base.
Okay.
It feels like it's not trying to be campy and ridiculous, and it is at times. Whereas I think Buffy was supposed to be funny and campy, and that was the entire, that was the attitude of that show right from the beginning.
But you don't think that there's a certain level of camp that they know exists in this story?
Yeah, I don't know. Just look, I don't entirely hate it. I'm just not a huge fan of it.
I think it's really good. I mean, I watched the first season. I liked it better than the most of the Buffy stuff I've ever seen.
All right. You're entitled.
I'm just saying.
I know a lot of people love it. Again, I don't think it's great. I've watched it. I'll probably finish season one. It's all on demand. So.
And I laugh my ass off every time. I mean, you know, you talk about the campiness and stuff and whether it's intentional or aside. Well, I'm constantly entertained and laughing my ass off. Like when that guy... is the lead vampire, Bill.
Yeah.
He's just like, Sook is mine. I say that all the time now, just for no reason. I'll be sitting there, I'll be like, Sook is mine.
Just because you can?
Yeah. And then there was another scene where I guess he was going to get caught out in the day.
Uh-oh.
So he buried himself in the ground.
Oh, I think I saw that. That was in season one.
Yeah. And he was, I can't remember if he was naked or if he had clothes on, but then like, you know, Sookie went looking for him, and he popped up out of the ground, and he was just dirty, and they just did it right there in the graveyard or wherever the hell it was. I was giggling my ass off. I was like, that's really funny. And not to mention I really like the way that the episodes are laid out, you know,
okay. And
the connection and the longer storylines, some terrific characters. I just wanted to say, I think it's really, really good.
I've seen the first 7 episodes of season one and I'm catching up. I think there are 7 or 8 more to go in the whole season. And then there's season 2.
Who's not laughing their ass off at Lafayette?
Well, Lafayette's pretty funny.
And the black girl too. I think she's really funny.
Yeah, she's all right. Sometimes she's funny. I think she's kind of annoying sometimes. But I like her mom, though.
Yeah, but she's campy and over the top, and there's no way around.
I'll tell you who I don't like, really. Okay. The characters that really bothered me the most were Bill's little posse. Those 3 other vampires that were living in his house early on in season 1.
Yeah.
Like the black girl with the afro.
What episode are you on?
6 or 7.
Okay.
I know. Oh no, they're dead already.
All right.
But like the bald vampire guy, like they were almost annoying. Like I just did not enjoy their.
They handled it.
But the rest of them, yeah, they handled it. Look, again, I'm.
Do you like
I'm
the?
I'm not
in
love with the show. I think it's okay though. I'm watching.
Do you like the Cajun guy?
The Cajun guy's pretty funny. I like the Cajun.
That's
guy.
Cool.
I like the Cajun guy.
I really like the Cajun guy.
I like him. You know, I also think that. I think I thought the show was something other than what it actually is when I had first seen it like advertised and the marketing campaigns and stuff like that. And so maybe I'm kind of thrown off by that still and it's still growing on me. So I'll continue to watch them.
I love any show with goofy Southern stereotypes and then you mix in vampires. That's like...
Just like the sprinkles on top of the sundae.
It's TV gold, sir. Anyway, enough of that tangent. I'm sure we have news.
Teen Wolf. Because, you know, werewolves and vampires, they go together well.
Uh-huh. How far in are you?
Into what?
Into True Blood?
Episode 7. Okay, there have been no werewolves yet. So they're
checking.
Coming, I guess.
Just checking.
So.
No, I didn't say werewolves were coming. I just want to make that clear.
Oh, all right. Teen Wolf's coming? Is Michael J. Fox in an episode?
Shaky
vampire?
I have no comment.
That'd be fantastic.
Yes, Teen Wolf. Great pair of movies.
Well, slow down. First one was good. The second one was like, meh.
Okay.
He was a boxer. It was that Bateman kid.
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway, Warner Brothers apparently is looking to relaunch.
Reimagine Teen Wolf?
Re-envision. Is there any creativity left in mainstream Hollywood?
No, you'd almost think no by the fact that every week we report. I think we have to do, I think we need a
bit for the
like
stinger?
A bit. Yeah, I think we really need an intro for the reimagination of the week. I'm going to work on that, see if I can get that together for next week.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's asinine is what it is.
Mainstream Hollywood is nothing but rehash of itself, of TV. There's no creativity left in mainstream Hollywood.
Yeah, I agree.
You still get some good independent flicks every year, but...
So maybe this time around, Teen Wolf will be a black guy.
Right.
And maybe he'll play football instead of basketball.
I was thinking, I was thinking maybe like lacrosse, but football is definitely up there too.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And then I was thinking, well, they probably won't have the scene on top of the van because, you know, it's unsafe and the kids will want to do it. And then I also thought, well, they can't actually do that whole sequence where he buys the booze from the store, but then there is McLovin. So right. They can get away with illegal sale of alcohol, yeah. but van surfing.
Not van surfing.
That might be a little too rough.
Gotcha.
So we may see. We may see.
I want a case of beer.
I like that first movie a lot. When that comes on, I watch it all the time.
Okay.
I think I own it on the DVD, though.
I got the
two-pack?
Both on one disc.
I should look that up and try to pick that up.
Like $8.
The Hobbit. We've been waiting patiently for this to maybe happen or not happen. We know that it's being worked on. Well, we've heard now that, according to Guillermo del Toro, that Ian McKellen is definitely coming back, which I don't think is that big of a surprise.
Right.
Andy Serkis is definitely coming back, which is not that big a surprise because who else can do that?
Right.
No one else could be Gollum.
It shouldn't be anyone else.
But we've also have news now that Hugo Weaving is definitely coming back, which, again, I don't think that's a huge surprise, but it's good to know that they're
continuity.
Sticking with continuity.
Yep.
And we have an update on Smaug.
Okay.
After what has been like 8 or 9 months since we first heard that they're starting to work on Smaug, they still have nothing on Smaug. They're just cracking the tip of the iceberg, Guillermo del Toro says with that character.
Okay.
They don't want him to just be another CGI dragon. They want him to have emotion and character. And that's good. I mean, it is an important character to that storyline. It does play an integral role in the wrap-up of the story. So So that's your Hobbit movie update.
Okay. Break the dishes, smash the plates. That's what Bilbo Baggins hates.
Ugh. God, I hope none of those songs come back.
Come on, Rankin Bass? Glenn Yarborough? He didn't sing that one, but...
No, he did the...
Frodo of the Nine Fingers.
That was the Return of the King.
And the Ring of Doom.
Maybe they'll bring it to
I'm sorry, did I sing one from Return of the King? Well, let me correct that little mistake. Roads go ever, ever on.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Over rocks and under trees.
I mean, I think I liked it as a kid, but looking back, what a piece of shit.
I still love it today.
I like The Hobbit. I don't think I like Return of the King.
They were great. They were both better than the fucking Lord of the Rings.
Oh, the Bakshi Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Ew.
So, good. Okay, good. Hobbit.
Akira is dead.
Yes, thank
Everybody's
God.
Everybody's dead, Dave.
Yes.
They're
thank
all dead.
God.
That project is dead, dead, dead ski.
Well, look, what we had heard about it is, well, you know, again, for those of you that don't know, Akira, it's probably the greatest Japanese animated film ever made, at least. I think it is. I think I would have to say that it is. The original. The original. Not the new translation.
The original dubbed bad version that some people would call it.
Yes.
I don't care. It's the best version.
I would tend to agree with you. That said, a live action version was being planned, produced by Leonardo DiCaprio's production company. And wasn't Leo going to be...
Kaneda. Was the rumor.
But not Kaneda, sir. Travis. Ugh. They were going to change the name to Travis. They were going to set the film in a Neo Manhattan.
Of course.
Rather than Neo Tokyo. And so, I mean, once you start hearing shit like that, it's like, fuck it.
Well, they lost their director.
Who was the director?
Ruari Robinson. Okay. Some unname. And now it's just dead.
Good.
Just I think DiCaprio's production company has dropped it now, and hopefully it will fall into Hollywood obscurity and never be done.
Maybe.
Because it would have just been...
horrendous.
Just been bad. Sean Penn has given up Hollywood roles to spend time with his family. Now, normally I wouldn't bring up Sean Penn on this show because, quite frankly, I don't care what he does most of the time. Except that he was tied to the Three Stooges movie.
Right.
He was going to play
Curly
in the Three Stooges movie. Which...
No, no. No, not Curly. Larry.
Was it Larry?
I think he was going to play Larry, yeah.
Well, one of them.
Right.
And the other two that had been cast was Jim Carrey and Benicio Del Toro.
Right.
Who the fuck was Benicio Del Toro going to play?
Mo.
Mo? Oh. Yeah, you can Jim give him Carrey the Mo haircut.
Jim Carrey as Curly.
As Curly. Yeah, okay, so that makes sense. So he would have been Larry
right.
then. So he has dropped out of that film. And the other film that he was working on was Cartel. But yeah, he's not doing that to spend time with his family. So of course the question
I think his wife, Robin Wright Penn, who is really hot, or she was, I think she left him or was leaving
yeah,
him.
Yeah, there was a breakup there. I think
something.
It's just Robin Wright again.
Yeah.
She's looking for Wesley again.
No, I think she's I think they're back together.
Oh, are they were apart and now they're back together?
I think this is part of that. I don't know.
Well, whatever it is. It affects that movie because now we have to find a new Larry, or potentially the movie will also fall into obscurity.
Right.
And it was the Farrelly brothers that were directing it. So, you know, it had a pretty big Hollywood draw. So we'll see what happens.
I think the best thing for this movie would be for it to shrivel up and die.
Probably.
It's a bad idea and it should not be done.
Probably. Did you like Mission Impossible 3?
I did, actually. I actually enjoyed Mission Impossible 3 infinitely better than Mission Impossible 2.
3 was the one that J.J. Abrams did, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, apparently J.J. Abrams is going to be working on Mission Impossible 4 now.
Okay. Good.
All we know is that he is tied to direct the film, but we don't know anything about. I mean, obviously, Tom Cruise is interested in coming back, which is not that big a surprise. I think he's talked about that. A couple of times that he'd be interested in coming back to that. 2 was a train wreck. I thought 3 was watchable. So
yeah, 3 was what's his name was the villain.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm not overly excited about this, but it has a potential to be decent.
Right.
I mean, we don't know anything else about it yet, but you know, J.J. Abrams coming hot off of
Star Trek, right?
And we know he's already working on a sequel to that. And then there's the rumor Cloverfield sequel. So where this fits into his busy schedule, we don't know. But at least we know he's interested in doing it. So
that's
I guess
good.
That's good for those fans.
Yep.
We often don't talk highly of G4 on this show.
No. And let me say why.
Okay.
Because
good.
G4. You know, the network G4 is what we're talking about here. The reason we don't speak highly of G4 is because they're all fake. Every single one of them is a complete and utter phony. There's no, it's, you know what it is? It's like if you took our show and put Pretty People in it and, you know, and put it on TV and, but Pretty People who didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. And you know what? I know
people
you're dying.
People always yell at us for saying that, though. They always, I think they stick up for Attack of the Show is the one show they always stick
it's
up
such,
for.
It's crap. You know what? Because you have a few action figures on your desk does not make you a geek. Because you read a comic book when you were a kid or you are familiar with some video games does not make you a geek. It's got to be part of your lifestyle. And part of your lifestyle doesn't mean, hey, you're a pretty good looking guy. We have this show we want to do, but you're going to have to, or girl, you're going to have to be a little geeky. You're going to have to, you know, learn about some video games and play with some toys and stuff. And then you make it part of your life because it's your job. You know, that's not it. That's not it. There's more of us than there are of them.
It's backpedaling into the lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly what it is. And then we went to their party in San Diego. Holy shit.
It made my skin crawl, that party.
Because it was filled with there was not a single unattractive person at that party.
I felt like...
Except
okay,
us.
This party was part of San Diego Comic-Con. This was one of the after parties, one of the nights. I felt like I had just left San Diego Comic-Con and stepped into Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was hipster nation.
It was club kids.
Right? I mean, that's what it felt like.
It was
like.
Horrendous.
And, like, the conversations at the party were, like, it was...
Nothing.
It was,
nobody was talking about anything. There were no decorations that were, you know, nobody even bothered to, you know, like, tape a Captain Kirk picture to the wall or anything.
I admit that there are different there are different levels of geekdom. Much like Dante's explanation of hell, there are different levels.
Right.
And I think that me and you, as a general, we kind of fall, we're big geeks. There's no doubt about it. But we're not like broken glasses, pocket protector, approaching all the porn stars.
Right.
Geeks. You know what I mean? Like when we go to a con, we're like, oh, those are the guys that give us a bad name. Like,
yeah.
We're not those guys. Right. So, but at that party, like, I kind of almost felt like those guys. Like, I clearly felt like I did not fit in
Absolutely.
At this party. And that's unusual because we typically fit in at most of these events, and there's a good group of people. We know a lot of great people from all these other shows artists and creators and toy manufacturers, all these things. And that party was just awkward and weird.
And that was the other I know there's probably some news attached to this, but that was the other funny thing about that party is the fact that we didn't know a single person there. Now I'm not being pompous and I'm not being arrogant. I know a lot of people in many of these industries that we cover. We know a lot of people in the toy industry.
We've been doing the show for 3.5 years.
Yeah, but even before that, all the O&A stuff and all that, I know a lot of people in the video game business. I know a lot of people in the action figure business. I know a lot of people in the film business. I know a lot of people in TV. I mean, I know a lot of people. And I know a single person at that fucking G4 party.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we left the G4 party in the basement of the same building as the G4 party was Joe Madureira's party for his new video game.
Yeah, whatever that game was.
And we went down there and it was a much better atmosphere.
And we had a ball.
There was great people down there. The food was good.
Yep.
I could actually get a beer. I didn't have to get like a fruity cocktail.
And people were talking
about
the convention and about the things that people were at that convention for, geek conversations. You know, it was just horrendous.
All right.
Anyway.
So that all being said, now that we've taken the G4 tangent, Olivia Munn, who is the host of Attack of the Show, she's the hot one. And she's hot. I'm not going to take it away from her. Apparently has been cast in an unnamed role in upcoming Iron Man 2.
Uh-huh.
So we don't know what role it's going to be.
She's probably playing herself.
Yeah, it's either going to be goes herself on or some like... Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
He goes
it's
on G4.
Be, if it's not herself, it's going to be some variation on herself. Tony Stark's going to go to a convention or he's going to go on some sort of pop culture show and she'll be the host. That would be that would be my guess. So... I mean, I brought it up because I wanted to, you know, we're talking about Iron Man 2 and we've been talking about the casting rumors and who's in the movie and who's not. And so I thought it was appropriate to mention it. And I didn't quite expect us to take the G4 tangent, but that's okay. We're allowed.
Sure.
I think that's it. I think we should take a break. That's it.
Wow.
It was quick. So.
Really? A break already, you say?
I think so.
All right. Well, then let's take our first break. And we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 152, Nobody Ever Dies.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Paget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Hello, this is Pee Wee Herman.
I know you are, but what am I?
And you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Why? What's the significance? I don't know!
Looks so phony. Dollars break even everywhere. But I can't.
fucking hippo juice people are more realistic than fucking G4. Hey, we're back.
We are back.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 152.
Nobody ever dies.
Right.
If you have an opinion on anything we talked about in segment one of tonight's show, or perhaps you also hate G4, perhaps you love G4 and want to coddle them and show them love and respect, you should give us a shout at 425-920-6050 and leave us a message.
Yes.
I think we have some other stuff that we could probably talk about this week.
We certainly do. Let's get right into DVDs.
That's a good spot to go.
DVDs.
Because that first one on the top of your list kind of ties into the news.
Oh, yes, it does. You're right. This is first up tonight, the Three Stooges Collection, Volume 6, 1949 to 1951.
There are up to six of these already?
Yes.
Holy shit. I remember when one came out.
Yeah, Volume 6. And we're getting up towards the end of the era there. This is Shemp Howard is now firmly in place as the third Stooge. And this set contains 24 digitally remastered shorts from 1949 to 1951.
And again, the thing we keep stressing with these sets is the reason they're so important if you're a Stooges fan is currently they are the only way to get the complete Stooges. Everything else out there is kind of piecemeal.
And it's not even that it's piecemeal. It's nothing else out there is digitally remastered.
Right.
Nothing else has such a complete collection, I think, is what's important here.
Absolutely.
So there it is. Also up tonight, Family Guy Volume 7.
The uncensored version?
Yes, the uncensored version, DVD exclusive, never seen on TV. Now, what does that mean?
Either there was an episode or there was a piece of an episode that must have been inappropriately censored by Fox.
And so they've
put it back in.
Oh, okay. Well, there it is. It's a terrific show. I'm sure everybody knows that. Volume 7 contains 13 more episodes of the terrific series on three discs. So there it is.
Right.
And I bought this also. Friday the 13th, the widescreen edition of the Killer Cut.
I was going to say, this is the Killer Cut or something, right?
Yes, the Killer Cut.
I still haven't seen that movie.
You should.
I hear that it's pretty good.
This one is the Killer Cut, rated R, lots of the usual horror bits in it, of course. And yeah, there it is. Pick it up. If you like Friday the 13th, this is an even more violent and bloody version than the one you've already seen.
All right.
So there it is. That's DVDs.
Short week for DVDs.
Now, you said you haven't seen Friday the 13th.
I haven't seen it yet. I want to check it out.
Have you seen any of the old ones?
I have. I've seen I hate to
interrupt you, but it looks like our D&D update of the week intro music is playing. So that must mean we have an update, and we're taking a comprehensive look at all the releases for Wizards of the Coast's brand new Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition. To check out more information, you can go to dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. Did you just go yuck?
No.
I thought I heard yuck.
No.
Well, then I will completely unfurl whatever feelings you'll have, because after long wait, after promises,
right,
after dreams and aspirations, this week we are talking about the Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition Eberron Player's Guide.
Eberron, containing one of the most interesting character classes I think I've ever read in D&D.
Which is what?
The Warforged.
That's the one you're playing, isn't it?
I love the Warforged.
Yeah, and you know what? They've gone. I had the opportunity to read this one today. And we should say that the Eberron Player's Guide is an introduction for the 4th edition set of rules for the fantastic setting of Eberron.
Warforged may be the first character class where you can actually play at a completely neutral alignment.
It depends, though.
Because I really don't have much emotion.
Well, it depends. Ah, see, but they have done some They have done some tweaking, I think, since the original. The original Eberron player's guide and DM guide to the setting of Eberron and the other subsequent five or six books were all done for third edition. Now, what I'm saying is that as reference material is still perfectly fine.
Okay.
Well, what we have now is the rule changes.
Okay.
And some minor tweaking. I think if you read the Warforge section in here, you'll find that it's even a little bit more interesting than it was before.
Nice.
I think. Gonna run you about $30.
Okay.
And this is the first in an absolutely essential two pack that you must get. That the follow up would be, of course, the campaign setting for Eberron,
right,
which is coming in a few weeks. This tells you, as a player, everything you need to know. I mean, literally everything you need to know to play a character in the setting of the Eberron world. Now, whoever your dungeon master might be can decide to take any of the pieces that he finds in these books, of course, and then apply them to any other D&D game or setting or anything like that. But if you're going to play in the terrific world of Eberron, everything you need to know is here. All the new character classes that are unique to Eberron.
Right.
And races like Warforged. There's some other spells. There are other professions, if you will, classes.
Okay.
All sorts of great things. One of the things about this book that I found really interesting that I can't remember if we talked about when we talked about Eberron back in the day was they go into great detail about how the other races are in Eberron. You know, so what are the half elves? You know, what are they all about? Where are the gnomes from in Eberron?
Right, okay.
You know, those sort of things. And I thought that was very interesting. It's a terrific, terrific book. It's got everything. It's got everything about the history of the world and places you can go and things you can get, all bunches of equipment and things. If you've ever read the comic...
Battle Chasers,
right. If you've ever read that comic book, a lot of similarities exist, right, between Battle Chasers and Eberron. I can't say enough about this setting.
I think it's probably really, honestly, one of Dungeons & Dragons' best settings ever.
Right, and considering the fact that they've picked this one to go second after Forgotten Realms,
which I think is
probably the most widely used one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to say a lot about how people are receiving the Eberron universe.
Absolutely. I think it's hugely popular. I think it kind of plays to... it plays to D&D, it plays a little steampunk. It's good. It's really interesting setting. It's unique to D&D from what you've experienced in the past. The transition to the new rule core system is just great, and everybody should run out and pick it up.
Yeah, definitely. It's the Eberron Player's Guide for D&D 4th edition. Just want to punch it home one more time. Everything you need to create and run a character in a 4th edition Eberron game. I mean, just everything. Rules, advice. They tell you some scenarios that your character,
nice,
you know, might be involved in to help with your character backgrounds. It contains new classes, new races, all sorts of stuff. If you've never read an Eberron
source book.
Or a novel. There's a couple novels out as well. If you've never read any of the stuff that's set in this universe, you owe it to yourself to check it out. Why not start with the Eberron Player's Guide? And that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D! Warriors that terrify. It's D&D!
And while we're on the topic of books...
Yeah.
We want to say that we teased this last, well, two things. One, we teased last week that this week's D&D update would be how miniatures are used in the new 4th edition.
Yeah, no.
Maybe next week. Maybe. We also teased some fall releases for the DK publishing company in the fall. that we said and we continue to say is a terrific company. We want to bring to your attention a couple of books that you might want to check out that are coming out from them in the fall. And you'll hear all about them here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff as we get them from DK. One is the newly updated James Bond Encyclopedia.
Okay.
Which now includes Quantum of Solace.
Nice.
So that's a terrific book. It's kind of everything you wanted to know about James Bond, his gadgets, the movies, the villains. It's just an entire tome of James Bond information. So you'll be able to check that one out in the fall. Something very exciting. I am really excited to see. In the realm of licensing things, DK has reached into Star Wars and comic books like DC and Marvel encyclopedias and everything else. Well, nobody, including me, nobody saw this one coming. It's the Lego book.
Yeah, you know, Legos really has this comfortable home in pop culture now.
Right.
And it just kind of makes sense that, you know, that they would do something on the company, on the product.
Yes.
You know, we've all had some sort of Lego at this point in our lives. Everybody had Legos when they were a kid, and some of us still have them now, and here it is.
Some of us. 1963, I think, or was it 1958? Somewhere in that era there, Legos made their debut, and this book will cover that. Show how Lego bricks were made. Talk about all the licensing stuff. Show some great Lego fan art.
Okay.
And fan creations. It's also going to come with a bonus book called Standing Small, a celebration of 30 years of the Lego minifigure.
Nice.
Yeah, so 30 years ago, Lego started making those little Lego people. And
Legos were really the original generic Stickfas, the original generic Mini Mates. I mean, really, all of those things have roots in Lego.
Yeah, to an extent, I would agree with you. Sure. And while we're on the topic of Lego and DK, well, you know, they're going to have to, you knew this was going to start.
Eventually.
Eventually, but here it is. It's the Visual Dictionary. It's another Star Wars Visual Dictionary.
Right.
Which we can't get enough of. The Star Wars DK books are absolutely perfect. They're wonderful. They're fully illustrated. They're very well researched. And this one will be no different except for one tiny little thing.
Tiny being the operative word?
Yes, because this is the Lego Star Wars Visual Dictionary. So there it is, coming out in the fall from DK. Expect to hear more about those right here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Let's quickly get into comics.
Let's.
Because we're running out of time.
All
comics
right.
To check out this week include Captain America number 600.
Right. And this is why the episode is so named.
Yes. This is the beginning of the return of Steve Rogers. I got surprisingly, the Alex Ross cover.
There is a different book.
There is, I can't remember this, four or five different stories in here about various different aspects of Captain America, including the story that will eventually lead to his return. He did not return in this book, contrary to what some people are saying.
But he's coming.
But he's coming. I want everyone to check out Batman Streets of Gotham number 1.
Okay.
It's
Why?
An all new ongoing series. Well, because it's a Batman book.
Oh, I thought there was something special about it.
I mean, based on that alone, you should check it out.
All right.
Fair enough. No, it's another ongoing. It's crime in Gotham and Batman and all the elements that make a great comic book, in my opinion.
Okay.
Check it out from DC. From Marvel Comics.
Yes.
It's the
Shit,
wonderful
number 1.
No, I didn't get there yet. That's at the bottom.
Oh,
of the pile.
Good.
Wonderful Wizard of Oz, number 7 of 8.
Oh, this no, is, we like that.
Yes, this is a terrific book by Schanauer and Young, Scotty Young. Terrific art, great interpretation of the story. The art is fabulous.
I'm so happy it's almost over.
I know, because then you'll get
I can get the collected one.
I'm
going to
get the collected one myself, I think, and give up the solo issues. Also from Marvel, it's the latest in their 75th anniversary timely comics reprint sort of things that are focusing on the characters, the timely characters from the 30s and 40s.
Okay.
This is Bucky and Toro in Young Allies.
I guess they're capitalizing on the whole Bucky Cap thing.
It's a 70-year anniversary, not 75.
Oops.
And the story features Captain America.
What's 5 years in the Marvel Universe? We could just travel in the future 5 years, get someone to bring us back. Yep. Everybody will be
That's
dead.
That's it. Everything will be fixed.
And, you know,
there you go.
The entire universe will be in a crystal ball.
Features a new story.
Right.
With the new Captain America. Features some flashbacks, and then in the back, of course, it features an entire reprint of a Young Allies issue.
Okay. Well, that's swell.
Yep. Nice. Check it out. It's really cool. And, of course, the Marvel dud of the week.
Nice.
It's Marvel Pets.
How cute.
The handbook, number one.
Oh, it's a handbook.
Yeah, it's a handbook.
Because I was going to say, we already have a pets book out there.
It's Lockjaw and the Pet Avengers.
Right.
No, 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 sir. This would be the Marvel Pets handbook. And just flipping through a random example, Tippy Toe.
Who the fuck is Tippy Toe?
Property of Doreen Green.
Who the fuck's Doreen Green?
Great Lakes Initiative, partner of Squirrel Girl.
Okay, listen. Trained
with Squirrel Girl.
If you need a book to have that horse shit, I mean, really, you're grasping at straw. Are we that desperate?
It's a squirrel with a, looks like one of those, with a scarf and one of those aviator hats on.
And it just longs for a grapefruit?
Well, let me give you a sentence. When the mutant Squirrel Girl, Doreen Green, who this is, joined the Great Lakes Avengers, well, that answers everything, in Milwaukee, she recruited many local squirrels to aid the JLA against Maelstrom and her minions, Batroc's Brigade. The JLA won, but only one squirrel survived. A female dubbed Tippy Toe. She became Squirrel Girl's new partner and joined the GLA, later renamed the Great Lakes Initiative. The former agent of Oblivion called Death blah, 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 blah. So there it is.
Apparently she's the pet to Bernie Getz. And he's the one that talks to squirrels now?
I think she's the pet. I think she is the pet of Squirrel Girl. Or the companion. Or
how terrible.
However that works out. Devil Dinosaur, also featured in here. Lockheed, Lockjaw.
Right.
All the Ant-Man's aunts are also featured. I know. But what are you going to do? Mole Man's Monsters. It's that kind of book. And so
when you're done using this book or reading this book, you can use it to line your pet's cages because that's about what its value is.
You may be able to do that. Yes, you may. But there it is. Marvel Pets, the handbook.
Just so done.
And finally,
a
trade we want to point everybody to. And we're both going to impress upon you the fact that you should go out and get it. It's Just a Pilgrim. By Garth Ennis and Carlos Esquiera. Now, this is two miniseries that came out quite a bit ago. The original series and the sequel, which was called Garden of Eden. Both of these are contained within this trade paperback version, along with the complete cover gallery featuring the works of J.G. Jones, Glenn Fabry, Tim Bradstreet, and others. There's some sketch material, design material in here also. Going to run you about $25. It's two absolutely really terrific stories with great art. Garth Ennis is a terrific writer, as we all know. If you don't know, then you should be reading some more Garth Ennis. And it's from Dynamite Entertainment, Just a Pilgrim, the complete trade paperback.
Best bust ever.
Yeah, they did do a bust for that, didn't they? Wasn't that Wizard?
It was Wizard in conjunction with
whoever put that book at the time, yeah.
And it was a con exclusive. And actually, I think it was a Philadelphia con, Wizard Con exclusive, or maybe it was their touring exclusive that year.
Maybe.
One of the best busts ever. What a great looking piece.
It was a great. Do you still have that on display?
It is not currently on display, but it is still a proud piece in my collection.
Oh, you're rotating?
I'm rotating. I have too much and not enough room to display it all. I need a museum.
That's the next step.
That's the next step.
We close the storage unit and open the museum.
It'll probably be a good toy museum as opposed to some of those other ones we've talked about.
Yes. Yeah. And something that will probably not be appearing in the toy museum will be our final discussion piece tonight. It's the Batman Legends of the Dark Knight box set from our friends over at DC Direct. So this is the latest in a series of what I have to call regrettable decisions in some cases of DC Direct taking action figures they've already issued, repainting them, and sticking them in one box, throwing a book in there with it, and
are there
putting
no
it out
new
on the
sculpts?
No new sculpts.
And okay,
I believe these are strictly just repaints.
Okay, so Looney Tunes Two-Face is not a new sculpt. That's
you're getting way ahead of yourself, Mister.
It's an original.
Yeah. The Two-Face here. Let's get right. I guess you brought it up. We'll get right to it. Two-Face looks like on the left side of his face that he had a cartoon cigar hanging right out that exploded, and it popped his hair out. And he does. The one thing you did say though, he does look more Aaron Eckhart-ish than ever.
He does. I. That's why I think that maybe the head is a new sculpt, because it definitely looks like they're kind of taking on
right
the Aaron Eckhart incarnation of Two-Face
right
in that head sculpt.
No coin, no gun. He's got a base. They all come with just a generic base.
Well, typically one of the things we see in these pack outs like this is that they remove the accessories from the pack. You're
right
typically getting just the figures, whatever base they have or need, and then the book that it comes with.
Right, and the book is a 64-page collection of Legends of the Dark Knight Special Number 1.
Okay.
Dark Tales starring the Joker, Two-Face, and Commissioner Gordon. So it's appropriate. The other figures in the box are a Batman, which I always thought was a decent sculpt on Batman. And I actually like this paint scheme as well, so it's not too bad. The Commissioner Gordon is the really terrific Commissioner Gordon figure that we've talked about in the past. Except
okay
instead of him being age-appropriate,
right,
he's like young Commissioner Gordon.
He's like movie Commissioner
yeah
Gordon.
Yeah, he's a little bit more like movie Commissioner Gordon.
He's not quite the commissioner yet.
Right, no gray.
Right.
He
right
does a little look a little like Gary Oldman. Looks like a little more filled out Gary Oldman. And finally, rounding out the four pack is a repaint of the Joker. I can't remember which Joker this is, but he does have an accessory. The pop gun with the flag hanging off it is here because it's actually sculpted as part of his hand, I think, which is the only reason.
Oh, okay.
It's included.
Oh, so that's
here
why it's not really an accessory.
Right. It's the suit. What they tend to do is they tend to tone down the paints instead of the bright colors as the original.
Right.
You have more of a muted purple. The green is very olive and drab. And that's what they do here. Gonna run you about $50.
Okay.
Which is a lot.
That's a lot for four figures.
It's a lot for some repaints. But if you're a fan of any of these characters, as I am, of course, you like to have all the versions of it. Well, then you're going to have to just pluck it down. Check out shows. Go to a con. See if somebody's trying to blow it out. I think in a couple months you might be able to pick this
one.
Yeah,
I was
going
to say, you know, I mean, you'll be able to get that. I don't think that's going to become a hard commodity.
Yeah.
And actually, if you're just a collector of maybe, let's say, a particular character, for example, if you're just a Joker collector, you may actually be even a get him loose at some point, too.
At some point, yeah, you might be able to do that. It's true.
That's our advice for the week.
That is.
Wait on this one, maybe.
So there it is. Let's take our second break.
Come back with the crap up.
It's the wrap up, sir.
Oh, my bad. Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow, with all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Bitch, what you don't know about me, I just about squeeze in the Grand fucking Canyon.
Hey, this is Kevin Smith, Big Kev's love slave.
Did you know I always wanted to be a dancer in Vegas?
Then you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
What do you look so shocked for, man? Fat bastard does this all the time. He thinks just because he don't say anything, it'll have some huge impact when he does open his fucking mouth.
Jesus Christ, why don't you shut up?
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 152, Nobody Ever Dies. We talked about that on tonight's show.
OG, what else did we talk about on tonight's show?
We talked about Joss Whedon kind of saying F you to the people redoing the Buffy movie, and us saying F you to Hollywood for continually shoving remakes down our throat. This week, of course, we discussed Teen Wolf in the remake portion of the show. We also talked a little bit about Guillermo del Toro and some casting news for the upcoming Hobbit film. Ian McKellen, Andy Serkis, and Hugo Weaving all coming back.
And, we talked about how wrong you are about True Blood.
Right, we talked about how wrong I am about True Blood. I didn't say I hated it.
I know.
Didn't say I hated it.
I know.
Akira is dead and we're all happy.
Yep. Very true.
Sean Penn is taking a break from life and acting, and that leaves the Farrelly brothers in a lurch, trying to find what we are thinking is Larry for their Three Stooges movie. Mission Impossible 4 is probably coming out some point in the future, and Olivia Munn, although hot, not sure why we've put her in Iron Man 2.
And we also discussed the fact that G4 is a bunch of phonies.
Right.
So,
faux four.
In segment two tonight, we talked about a couple of DVDs you should check out. The Three Stooges Collection, Volume 6, 1949 to 1951. Right. Family Guy, Volume 7. And the brand new killer cut of Friday the 13th, the brand new one.
Right.
That just came out recently. In our D&D update of the week, we talked about the 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons Eberron Player's Guide. It's a terrific, terrific guide to a terrific, terrific setting for your D&D characters. For more information, check out dndinsider.com, letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. We also previewed some books we will be talking about this fall coming from DK Publishing, including the brand new Lee updated James Bond Encyclopedia, the Lego book chronicling the history of Legos and all that sort of jazz, and the Lego Star Wars Visual Dictionary. Terrific,
right.
Terrific stuff.
Next is going to be the Lego Indiana Jones, followed by the Lego Harry Potter. These are going to go with the video games.
Maybe. In comic books tonight, we want you to get as much laughter as possible out of Marvel Pets, the handbook, number one. Bucky and Toro in Young Allies, the 70th anniversary Marvel thing that they're doing, which is pretty cool, actually, I think. Wonderful World of Oz, number 7. Batman Streets of Gotham, number 1, brand new ongoing book with Batman. Captain America 600, brand new ongoing return of Steve Rogers. How long is this going to fucking take? And finally, the complete Just a Pilgrim
that
by Garth Ennis, Carlos Esquiera. Run you about $25 from Dynamite Entertainment.
Right.
And lastly, from our pals over at DC Direct, it's the Batman Legends of the Dark Knight box set featuring repaints of Two-Face, Batman, Commissioner Gordon, and the Joker, and a 64-page book, Legends of the Dark Knight Special Number 1. Repaints are tantamount to reimagining in my book, so I'm not a big fan.
Right.
Gotta say that. So, that's everything we did tonight.
That all being said, if you'd like to check out our episodes, you can go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have every single episode, all of our video segments. You can interact with the show, leave a comment on an episode, participate in the message boards, give us a call over at our hotline.
425-920-6050.
That's my line.
I know, I just couldn't believe I remembered it.
Damn, you're good. And you can also pick up your own Big Kev's Geek Stuff t-shirt. Big Kev's Geek Stuff t-shirt, catching on. We've had quite a few sales in the last week.
You know what those bastards at Hippo Jews were like? They're like, we'll wear your shirt if you send us some. So I think we should send one in whatever Marie's size is.
You know, Marie actually, I think, asked me for one today, and I said we didn't have any girls' cut shirts.
So maybe we have to get some of those for the future.
Maybe we should just get one specially made. I think we should start the Marie fan club.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm sure probably somebody out there has one already.
No,
but
not better than ours.
All right. Well, fine.
Just saying.
All right.
Go on.
If you'd like to check out HippoJuice, you can go to hippojuicefilm.com or livestream.com/HippoJuiceFilm, I think, or something like that.
Something.
And I think that's it. I think we're going to go. I'm hungry.
Yeah,
see,
I'm
I said I'm not drinking. No drinking this week.
Yeah, I'm
just
sure.
Food.
No, I'm sure you're not going to have anything to drink with your meal.
Nope, it's just air and noodles.
Yep.
That's it.
You think that's what it
is.
Well, this is the point where I would, of course, I would turn to Best Buy Billy, our producer, and ask him, Best Buy Billy, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 152, Nobody Ever Dies? And then he would say two words reluctantly, and we would end the show. Also, you might think that I would cliche and shoehorn in Best Buy Billy saying, you betcha, Kev. But I'm not going to do that
this
week either.
We're just leaving it blank this week?
Nope, just letting it go. Watch this.
And on that note, we cue the music.
The greatest adventure is what lies ahead. Today and tomorrow are yet to be said. The chances, the changes are all yours to make. The mold of your life is in your hands to break. The greatest adventure is there if you're bold. Let go of the moment that life makes you whole. To measure the meaning can make you delay. It's time you stop thinking and wasting the day. The man who's a dreamer and never takes leave, who thinks of a world that is just make-believe, will never know passion, will never know pain. Who sits by the window will one day see rain. The greatest adventure is what lies ahead. Today and tomorrow are yet to be said. The chances, the changes are all yours to make. The mold of your life is in your hands to break. The greatest adventure is what lies